We're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 20. The preaching is not exclusively from that passage of Scripture this morning, because this is an introductory sermon to the book of 1 Timothy that we're going to be making our way through, Lord willing, over the next several weeks. And then we're going to go right into 2 Timothy right after that. But I want to read 1 Timothy chapter 1. It helps us to set the course for where we're going and what this book is all about. And so that will be the scripture passage that we read today. This is the word of the Lord. Please pay careful attention to it. Paul, by the commandment of God, Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, a true son, mercy and peace from God, Christ our Lord. As I heard in Macedonia, remain in that they teach no other doctrine, fables and endless genealogies, which come from the edification which is in faith. Now, from a good conscience and from sincere faith, from which some have tried to idle talk, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know uses it law, that the law is not, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly, unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for liars, and if there is any other doctrine according of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus for me, because putting me into the ministry, although I am a persecutor and an insolent man, but I am ignorantly in unbelief. In the grace of our Lord, with faith and love, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a believe on him for now mortal, invisible to God, invisible to God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge, Timothy, according to the word concerning you, that by the prayer have which concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I may learn not to blaspheme. Let us pray. Father God, word. We thank you, Lord, for this letter that was written from one shepherd to another shepherd, that this shepherd may be encouraged and exhorted to carry out his duties. And Lord, we pray that you would help us as a church not to look at this from a distance and just say, this is a conversation between two ministers. And even though that is what it is written for our benefit, for our blessing, that we may know how we are to conduct ourselves in the household of God. And may that stop conduct in the household of God be pleasing to you as we pay attention and we stay awake and alert to hearing your word and then putting it to practice in our life. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, the preacher, though I am weak and in need of great help from you, that you would still speak through me to your people, that they may hear the truths of your word and apply them to your life. We pray, Lord, that you would help us in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, I've said a few times, one shepherd to another, and that is what it is. But it's not a letter to rehearse the goings-on of the ministry that they've had, or how well it has gone, or even how bad. This shepherd is writing to another shepherd because he has a great love for the sheep of God, for the church of God. And so that And we see this in Acts chapter 20, and let me just read to you verses 27 to 31. Paul of the church in Ephesus, which is, we read here that he's asking Timothy to remain there for a particular reason, and he says to the elders when he was leaving them, "For I declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all that has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I wolves will come in among you, not rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." This is Paul's love for the church. And so it springs forth. Even as he remains in Ephesus, Paul is demonstrating in Timothy, he's so wants the shepherds who are being left behind, in this case particularly Timothy, that they may know how they are. Not just according to their whims. It's not just according to the dictates of the culture, which we'll get into that later on in the book of Timothy. But that's how shepherds are being coached today, to shepherd the church according to the culture. And so this book, as we're going to see, this letter to Timothy is written not only to Timothy as this personal letter, but for the church of all ages. Before we get into the introduction of the book itself, I want to introduce you to the relationship that Paul and Timothy had. We talked about this in our Wednesday night Bible study a little while back, a couple of weeks ago, where Paul and Timothy first met in the city of Lystra. And Paul and Silas and others had been commissioned at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15 with messages. You know, we've just come from presbytery, and this has some correlation there. That's why we act as a presbytery, as a group of elders, because we see that being worked out in Acts chapter 15. And in Acts chapter 15, they had their meeting, they discussed error, they discussed falsehood, they discussed truth, they discussed the gospel, they discussed what God was doing in the churches, very similar to what we have just done. But then they sent out people to the churches with these decrees that they had come up with, that they didn't need to be circumcised. And so Paul to the different churches in the different areas, and they Paul meets Timothy there. This is in Acts chapter 16, and this is where their relationship begins. And let me just introduce you to Timothy. What Acts chapter 16 tells us, and some other places in Scripture tell us about Timothy, he is a disciple. He was a brother in the Lord. When Paul got Timothy came to faith through his grandmother and his mother Eunice. And let me say to you, what does that speak to you grandmothers and to you mothers? What an impact, what an opportunity, as being the people most likely who are with your children more often than anybody else. What an opportunity you have to lead them to Christ Jesus, as his grandmother Lois and Eunice did. The Scripture tells us also in Acts 16 that he had a good testimony among the other things. Paul wanted to take him along with them on this missionary work that they were doing and going to the churches. And eventually that would expand from just delivering the decrees from Acts 15 to preaching the gospel in some cities where it had never been known before. So Timothy is now walking with Paul on these missionary journeys. And he is mentioned in several other of Paul's letters. And you can look at the introduction to 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Philemon, Colossians, and Philippians, where you'll hear Paul and Timothy, like Philippians, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. Or you'll hear of Timothy in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 17, where the Apostle Paul says to the church at Corinth, "Therefore I urge me, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my brother, who will remind you of my brother, I teach everywhere in every church." So acquainted was Timothy with Paul that he could now be sent to other churches and talk about Paul's life and Paul's ways and his manner of conduct and all the things that he was teaching in all the churches. So Timothy was growing in the Lord, and now he's being used by God's word to other churches. We see their relationship growing and the trust in this young man to be able to be doing the work of God, even going alone. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 24, the Apostle Paul says this, "But I will speak to you shortly." He's sending Timothy to them, "that I know your state." For he had nobody like Timothy. Timothy had risen to a great level of trust and faithfulness in ministering to Paul and to other people. "For I will sincerely care for your all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Timothy was a Christ Jesus-minded young man. And let this young man speak to you, that you don't have to wait until you're 30 or 40 or 50 years old to be serious about the things of the Lord. You as a young man, even you young boys, children, can be serious about the Lord even in your youth. Timothy was like that. Verse 22 of Philippians chapter 2 says that, "But you know his proven character." It wasn't just what people said about him. It was who he was in his life. He had proved it. "That with me in the gospel." That's how he proved it. "Therefore, as soon as I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." We're just talking about Paul and his relationship with Timothy. It was a gospel ministry work relationship, but it was also one of that was very personal, for he says in 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 to 4, that he prays for Timothy, greatly desiring to see him, being mindful of his tears, that I may be filled with joy. So apparently when Paul and Timothy had to be apart because Paul was sending him away, that Timothy so loved his mentor, so loved this man who had trained him up in the faith, trained him up in the gospel ministry, that he was only able to depart with tears. When Timothy left Paul, he so loved him, so loved the ministry that they were doing for the sake of Jesus Christ, that he departed with tears, which caused Paul him so his joy may be filled. So this letter is from one shepherd to another shepherd who had a very personal relationship, and that relationship is a Christ-centered one. It is one that is centered on Jesus Christ himself and the gospel ministry that they were called to. One that was centered on ministering to the church, because that's what you see the Apostle Paul doing with Timothy, constantly sending him out to other churches, that they may be encouraged, that they may be informed about Paul's ministry and his state, whether he's in prison or being persecuted, whatever it might be. The churches that Paul had been to, they wanted to know what's going on with our brother Paul. And so Paul, in his care for the churches, would send these emissaries out like Timothy to go and tell him about their state or his state, and he could also learn about the state of the church. And so this is one shepherd, the Apostle Paul, saying to this other shepherd, whom he's leaving behind in Ephesus, "I love the church." In this letter, he is telling Timothy, "I love the church, and therefore I want you to take care of her." And even though he has trained Timothy well, Timothy has grown up and has proven character, he doesn't just leave it to Timothy's thoughts about how he is to love the church. So this letter is a letter of instruction on how to behave as a leader in a church, of course, but also in how to love this church and shepherd them. That's the kind of relationship that had developed with Paul and Timothy and the both of them to the church of Jesus Christ. It was one of the questions that was asked in presbytery of one of the people, I think it might have been asked of Noah, I'm not sure. Do you love the church? Do you love the church? And no minister should be in the ministry if he doesn't love the church of Jesus Christ. New ministers, training ministers, Ministers who have been in the ministry a long, long time, their love should be for the church whom Jesus Christ loved and gave himself for it. And that should never change. And if it ever does change, if a minister can say, you know what, I just don't really care about the church that much anymore, he should be out. He shouldn't be ministering to the church. And so this is a letter who these shepherds love one another, but that passed by their love for Christ and the church. If you're ever in a place where you might call another pastor, and someday you will be, that's something you need to find out. Whether you're here or some other church, another town or city where the Lord may move you someday, you need to find out if the minister loves the church. Or if you're calling a new minister, does he love the church? Because that's as we go through the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you'll see that love expressed. It's an exclusive love. It is a passionate love. It is a careful love. It is a tenacious love. He gives instructions on very many things, even down to the smallest minute detail, and says this is how things ought to be handled. And it's not because he's on a power trip or on an authority trip. It's because he knows this is the Word of God and the will of God, and he seeks for the church to do well because he loves them. Well, that's kind of the relationship that Paul and Timothy had in ministry and personal and with the church. But I want to move from that relationship of these two shepherds to the nature of this letter. And I want you to see three things. And the first thing is the shepherd. This shepherd's letter from one shepherd to another is a powerful letter. And by that I mean it is not just words. It is not just instruction. It is not just a manual on how to do church, but it comes with power. It is even not just a tutorial based on what Paul has done in the ministry in the past. And it does not come from Paul's personal opinions regarding how someone should shepherd a church. You may recall Paul's his road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, on his way to Damascus persecuting the church, that Jesus in a great light says to him, Saul, persecuting me. And Saul says to the Lord, who are you? He said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard. And then Paul says, Lord, what do you want me to do? This is a statement, a question of total submission to the Lord. And then the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And later in that same chapter, the Lord called a disciple named Ananias and said, I want you to go over here, and I want you to find this man named Saul, and you'll find him, and he is blind, and I want you to lay your hands on him that he may receive his sight. Ananias was kind of hesitant things about church. And Jesus said to Ananias, go of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And that's what Paul is recalling in verse 1. Paul, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord hope. Paul is saying, I am writing this letter with the power of God. It's not my opinion. It's not my experiences. It is the very authority. In verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. He is saying, this is not my opinion. These are not my experiences. This is the very Word of God that God is speaking to me through you as an apostle, a sent one. And that sent one started in Acts chapter 9 when Jesus knocked him to the ground and the apostle Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Jesus said to Ananias, go to him. I have chosen him to do these things. And that's what Paul is doing in 1 Timothy. He is speaking to Timothy with authority. And you might say, why? Like this. It is a personal letter. It says in verse 2, to Timothy. But in verse 1, why does he have to say to his longtime friend, his longtime ministry partner, conversation, or it's a personal letter like you and I might write to one another, but what he is about to tell Timothy comes with the authority and power of God. In Galatians 1, Paul makes a similar statement saying, Paul, an apostle, not man, but the dead. Paul opens this personal letter to his friend, clarifying that while this is a personal letter, it is the very word of God and has that authority. And you are to respond to it that way, and you are to lead the church in that way as if these words are coming from God himself, because they are. It's not coming from a man nor by man, but from God. And we need to look at God's word, all of it, that way. We need to look at this letter that way. One of the criticisms from the world and from the liberal church even today is, well, this is just Paul speaking, and we don't have to follow that because this is just his opinion. This is what he thinks about the church. This is how he feels about the church. That's what liberal scholarship says and writes and publishes, especially when it comes to the relationships between men and women in the church, which is one of the big hot buttons today, isn't it? You hear it all over the place. Why are women preachers, are women becoming preachers now in the churches? Because they don't believe that 1 Timothy is the very Word of God. And you think that's a new hot button? Why is Paul addressing it 2,000 years ago? He didn't just grasp it. I think I'll talk about women preachers, or women teaching, or women having authority over men. He didn't just grasp it for some time. He was addressing things that the church was dealing with, which shows us how perpetual the Word of God is, how sufficient it is, not just for Paul's day, but for our day. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Paul was convinced that Jesus had sent him, just as he said to Ananias, as one who had the words of God, and that he would testify of Jesus Christ before Gentiles and kings and rulers and all those different kinds of people. Paul was convinced that the church would not survive without the Word of God. And we ought to be convinced of that as well. That if we change what we do in the church to satisfy culture, to satisfy our neighbors, to satisfy even one another, we will not survive. We may even meet as a church. We may even continue to do the things that we do as a church. But if we are not full authority, we will not survive as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be something. And there are a lot of somethings out there with the name on their sign that says such and such a church. But if they have abandoned the Word of God, if they have abandoned the gospel of Jesus Christ, if they have abandoned God's word as the sole authority for what they do, how they worship, what they preach, who they teach of Jesus Christ, then they are on their road to not being the church of God. This is not just a greeting here in verse 1. It's a greeting of power and authority from God for God's church. And so he writes it to his friend, his co-worker in the ministry, to make sure you stay true to the Word of God. This is your role, young Timothy. Secondly, we see in this letter, the shepherd's letter to one shepherd to another, that it is a personal letter. It's very clear from verse 2 that that's true. He doesn't say to the church in Ephesus. He doesn't say to the saints and the bishops and the deacons in Ephesus, like he does in Philippians. He says to Timothy, a true son in the faith. So this is a personal letter. It is a personal letter that comes with power. It's personal in who it's addressed to. And it's also personal in its function. And the first function we see that that Paul assigns to Timothy is in verse 3. And by the way, we're going to be going just little different spots here in the book of 1 Timothy for our introductory sermon. But we start, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remember to may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And so here we see it's personal to Timothy about his particular function. It is not personal, like just a, we really had a good time over there in Lystra, let's go back there someday, and just recounting good times. It's personal to him because he has particular functions that he must carry out for the sake of the church. As a minister of God's word, Paul instructs Timothy, who is also a minister of God's word, to correct those who are teaching false doctrine. Verse 3, he says, I urged you, you particularly, personally, to remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And you notice here that Paul is not talking directly to the church. He's not talking directly teaching these false doctrines. He's telling Timothy, I want you to take care of this. Based on the authority of God's word, you go to these people and you charge them that they teach no other doctrine than God's word. That's one of the roles of the minister of the gospel. If somebody is teaching false doctrine, then it's the role of the minister to correct them, to show them from the word of God where they are in error, to do it lovingly and kindly, but to do it with authority. He's telling Timothy, you personally have pastor. And now we see that, even from this first charge, this personal charge, why word? If you're going to be going and correcting somebody, you better have the standard for correction. And that's the authority of God's word and God's word itself. And that's not always easy if you are an older pastor or a more senior pastor or shepherd with lots of experience and lots of knowledge, but especially to someone who is young, like Timothy was. And we see that also in Paul's writings to Timothy, let no one despise you because of your youth. So he was a young man. And when you're dealing with older men, we even talk about in the catechism question of giving honor to those who are older than you, you have to do that in the right way. And so Paul is going to instruct Timothy. And he's instructing him personally, this is your function. And your function is founded on God's word as authority. So Paul later will say in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this is a personal letter, but it's not personal in the sense that it's not intended for, that it's intended for private use. It is not like one of those letters where one friend might say to another, just between you and me, just between us from one shepherd to another, it's not like that. It is a personal letter, but it's not meant to be private. It was and is to this day to be used for the care and shepherding of Christ's church under the authority of God's word. So the letter comes from a position of power, the power of God in Christ, and it is personal instruction to Timothy in how he is to lead and shepherd the church, what the church is to be doing. It is powerful, it is personal, but it's not private. Some people, some biblical quote-unquote scholars will say, this was a letter to Timothy and doesn't necessarily have implications for the church. That's just not true. It's just not true. We're going to see that here in just a minute. This letter is for the whole church. It's certainly for ministers to get their instruction of how they are to shepherd and lead the church of God. And we'll see that in many cases. We'll see that. But it's a private letter, personal letter, for public viewing and public instruction. The Bible, this letter, and all of God's word are meant for His church throughout the ages. Even what Paul tells Timothy to do and what he tells him to be and so forth impacts the church. It's not just Timothy. If Paul is telling Timothy how he is to be as a minister of the gospel, as a shepherd, then how he is to be that kind of person is going to impact the church, even in those times when he gives him very personal, particular instruction. But this letter has a bigger purpose than just private and personal. And that's what we see thirdly. And we're going to see this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. This shepherd's letter from one shepherd to another is full of purpose. It is purposeful. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, with authority from God Himself, these things I write. But if I am delayed, I write. So, here's the purpose, that you may know how in the house of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. This statement may seem like it's restricting this letter to Timothy. Like I'm telling you, this is how you ought to behave. But in it, we see the purpose of this letter for Timothy and the church. Paul is writing these things to Timothy so he will know how he ought to conduct himself in the house of God. And with these instructions that he's giving to Timothy, these instructions are then to be communicated to the people of God. This is, in a sense, a tutorial course of instruction for Timothy's role as a pastor. He is being taught what he is to teach and what he is to be. And so it is a personal letter and it is personal instruction, but it is not to stay with just him alone. Its purpose is to minister to the church of God. And here we see these themes running throughout the book of 1 Timothy. And just listen, we're going to go through these things. You don't have to write them down or even their verse references, because this is just an introductory sermon and it's teaching us what this book is all about. So here we go. In verses 3 to 11, Timothy is taught to correct false doctrine, to teach the law and the gospel. There's another thing that churches today struggle to do. Churches today, by culture, are said to don't go back to the Old Testament. We even have one very popular, very large church. A pastor is saying, we need to disconnect from the Old Testament. It's no longer relevant for us. Thousands of people go to these churches of which he has influence on. This word is not just for Ephesus, but for us today and all the churches throughout the ages before us and coming up behind us as well. In verses 18 to 20 of this chapter, he is charged to wage the good warfare, keeping faith even when others don't. Oh, how the church needs to know that. To remain faithful to God's word and to their Lord Jesus Christ when some churches are dropping like flies to the pressure of the culture. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, Timothy is instructed to be a man of prayer for all kinds of men, teaching others to pray with a gospel emphasis. In chapter 2, verses 9 to 15, there's instruction for women in the church and their behavior. You probably know of elders and deacons are given so that the church is cared for both physically and spiritually. Chapter 4, he is called to instruct the brethren as a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourishing them in the word doctrine, which he had carefully followed. And in chapter 5, he deals with things with relationships in between the people and elders, the care of widows, treating people right, treating elders right, treating other people fairly without partiality. In chapter 6, he deals with bondservants and masters, godliness versus riches, and commanded to guard to his trust. To guard that which was committed to his trust. What was committed to his trust? To follow right doctrine in his life and to teach others this right doctrine. These are the purposes of the book of 1 Timothy. And all of this is laid on the foundation of verse 1, God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. We see this throughout 1 Timothy. We read it in chapter 1. This verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ came to the world to save sinners. A lot of jokes and frivolous talk are made about Paul being a liar and saying that he was the chief of sinners, and people say, no, Paul wasn't, I am. That misses the whole point. Paul was making a point that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that's the point of this book. Sinners who are saved by grace, being taught how to conduct themselves in the household of God, in the body of Christ. But this is not void. Chapter 2, verse 5. One mediator between God and man, or men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This book will lead us at different points through the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has produced this church in Ephesus. And Paul loves the church. He loves the church, and he wants them to know how they are to live before God, to glorify Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of this letter, to bring the church to humble submission to God's word and will, and to know how we are to live in the church of God and in this world, for the church is the pillar and ground of truth. Even as I have picked up some of these themes in 1 Timothy, isn't it amazing how 2,000 years ago they were dealing with the same things we are dealing with today? And that shows us not only the purpose of this, for how frustrating it is to hear people, you see this advertised in media about get on this cruise ship and go to a certain place like Israel and you will see the Bible come alive. That's a problem in people's thinking, that the Bible is some dead old document and I need some new experience to make it come alive. The Bible is alive. We are the ones who are dead, and we are the ones who need to be made alive by the Scriptures themselves, informing us of the life-giving, life-saving work of Jesus Christ. And the doctrines that are taught here in 1 Timothy, that Paul addressed to Timothy at the church of Ephesus, are absolutely needed right here at Grace Reformed Church. And they're needed in the life of this church, in the life of our denomination, in the life of our presbytery, in the life of all of Christ's churches and all the people that make them up. You need them too. You need to be reminded that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Week in and week out, you need to be reminded. You need to be reminded that there is a way that you are to behave in the church, that you don't get to do just whatever you want to do because you are an American individual. That there is a way that you are to conduct yourself. And because Paul loves the church, he wants this young pastor, this young shepherd, to know how he is to conduct himself in the church and how the church is to live before God. So that's what we're going to be looking at in the letter from one shepherd to another. Not just written for them, but for us. And so I hope that by God's power and by His Holy Spirit, that as we go through these things, you will enter into this preaching series with an attitude of submission and humility. Because that's what's being called for here. An attitude of submission and humility. Not submission to Paul, not submission to Timothy, but submission to Jesus Christ. The one who loves the church more than Paul, more than Timothy, and more than me, and more than you. Submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ is the purpose of this letter. It's for all time and all ages, and it's for all churches. May God help us to do that. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you for this letter from one shepherd to another. And we know, Lord, that this love of Paul and Timothy for the church is not something that rose up in them because they were good guys. It's something that rose up in them because you placed it there. And so we ask, Lord, that you would place in us a love for the church as well. To love the church more than we love ourselves. That we might humble ourselves to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. who is Zion's only king and head of the church, and that we might see the writing of this letter coming directly from him through the Apostle Paul, and that we might humbly submit to Jesus. We ask these things in Jesus' name.